Welcome to the Experience Darden podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share my recent conversation with Rachel Barnes. Rachel is a JD MBA dual degree student in our class of 2021, and she and I recently connected via Zoom to talk a bit more about her background, how she decided to pursue a JD MBA, what she's enjoyed about the experience so far, and so much more. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here's my interview with Rachel Barnes. Rachel, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Brett. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you here. First and foremost, how are you doing? Obviously, a lot going on right now. Are you doing okay?
Yeah, it's been a really unexpected few months, but I'm doing all right. I'm making it. I'm here in Charlottesville, keeping in good spirits.
Good. Have you picked up any new hobbies or activities in the midst of the pandemic?
I've been walking a lot more. I think I have walked way more than I planned to, but doing that and then trying to read a little bit, actually merging walking and reading. I've been listening to audiobooks on my walks. I've learned they're not books on tape anymore. They're not called that, but I've been trying to be more active and read a little bit.
Now, I love that. I'm a big reader myself. What's the last thing you listened to?
The last thing I listened to actually was a book called First, which is Sandra Day O'Connor's biography.
All right. That's keeping with our theme. You're a JD MBA student, so not totally surprised by your listening material. You're right. I do call them books on tape from time to time, which I think dates me a bit. I don't know how many people were breaking out the cassettes. I think it's all audible and, you know, listening to books in this kind of digital format these days. But thank you so much for taking time out for the podcast. I know you've got a lot going on. You're a dual degree student, so very full plate here. We're going to talk a bit more about that. But let's set the stage a bit. Now, let's talk about who you are and what you did before coming to Darden. So talk to us a little bit more about your background.
Sure. So I'm originally from Atlanta, Georgia. I went to the University of Georgia for undergrad, where I got my degree in economics and Spanish. And then after that, I worked in Atlanta as a paralegal, mostly in the corporate immigration space, helping with U.S.-based visas as well as global mobility, so I can send anyone from anywhere in the world to anywhere in the world for work. That was a big part of my background. I really enjoyed it. I also interned for the DA's office, the district attorney's office in Athens, Georgia, which is mostly criminal law, and decided that it was a bit more intense than I was expecting, and I think law firm life was something that was still very appealing to me, so I decided to apply to law school and started at UVA Law in 2017 before starting at Darden in 2019.
All right. I was going to ask you, where are you in this process? So we got that already. So you're ahead of me. This is when you know you got a skilled podcast guest on your hand. So thank you for that. So obviously, listening to your story, you hear that you did sort of legal jobs and that you were very much on that path. How did you decide to pursue a JD MBA?
So like I mentioned, my undergrad degree was in economics, and that was very business focused. I graduated from the Terry School of Business at UGA in the undergrad capacity. And I was still very interested in that, even though I had a law focus. And so going into law school, I was very open to pursuing a dual degree. I wanted to broaden my knowledge base, and I'm a huge nerd for school. And so more school seemed like fun. But I didn't want to take on too much too fast. So I started at the law school without applying to the MBA program. And then having finished my first year, I decided that I felt comfortable enough to take on more responsibility. So then I applied to Darden.
Know that first year of law school can be a very busy year, a lot going on. And 1L years, books written about it even. So needless to say, I can imagine making it through that, you probably did feel like you had a little bit more time. I wonder how UVA Darden got on your radar. Obviously, applying to Darden, you were already in Charlottesville, but what attracted you to UVA generally?
So initially during my school hunt, I really didn't have a direction. I was focused on East Coast schools, but beyond that, I really didn't know where I wanted to end up after school, other than I wanted to push myself outside of Georgia. And so I just started traveling around, visiting schools in DC, schools up north, and felt like I wanted an experience that was very similar to the one I had at the University of Georgia, where I felt like despite it being a large public school, I had a really close-knit community and people really looked out for each other, and I enjoyed that aspect. And so UVA came across my radar by happenstance, actually. They emailed about an application waiver or something like that. And I was like, I had never heard of UVA. And so I looked into it and I was like, oh, they actually have a really well-respected school. Let me see more about it. And so I visited and I was just really struck by how kind and community-focused everyone was, from the dean all the way down to like every student I met. I took the first two steps I took in the door at the law school, for example, I was very lost and didn't know where to start my tour. And a student just stopped randomly and was like, hey, can I help you? And it was every time I stopped moving, someone instinctively stopped to help me. And I really liked that. And that was something that initially I didn't realize I wanted in a school, in a grad program. But I was really drawn to UVA because I felt like people were very kind and caring, and it wasn't an overly competitive, cutthroat environment. And that's been consistent across both programs.
And I think that's an important thing to consider, particularly in graduate professional schools. They can sometimes have maybe more intense environments. People are not always super collaborative. And obviously at the University of Virginia, a little bit of a different story, both at the law school. And we've talked about it a ton here on the podcast about what it's like at Darden with learning teams and case method. And, you know, obviously everybody working together towards the same end goal. I'm going to ask you a little bit of a question that I don't get a chance to ask too many people on the podcast. You know the law school version of the case method, and you know the business school version of the case method. And I wonder, how are they similar and how are they different?
Sure. So the law school case method is a bit more of a scholarly venture, I would say. The approach to understanding the case is a bit more from the what is the law telling us perspective. So we'll get a case and have to kind of break down what the issues are, what the holding was, and what the judicial intent behind it was, and kind of use that to inform our knowledge going forward of what it means for criminal law, what it means for constitutional law, things of that nature. But on the Darden side, it's a lot more about putting you in the real world, in the driver's seat as a manager, and it's a lot more experiential. So from that perspective, you're given a case and you are meant to put yourself in the shoes of whoever's making the decision and think about, okay, well, there's no right answer here. So what information can I pull from in the case to make an informed decision? And I think that ambiguity is very unique to the Darden case method. And you don't quite get it the same at the law school because there's already an answer. It's already been decided. And Darden cases, while they're obviously, if it's a real world case, there was an outcome. But in that environment, the understanding is there's no right answer.
I love that explanation. Thank you so much. It's such a great way of sort of helping people understand how these are a bit different from one another and pull on some of the same skills though, right? Communications at the crux of what you're trying to do. So, you know, as a dual degree student, you can apply, you know, at the front end, you know, as you're coming in, say to both the law school and the MBA program, or you could apply after you've matriculated, the path that you've chosen. I'm curious what your schedule has been like. So you've done your first year of law school. Where are you, you know, where are you on this journey right now? What classes are you taking? What does it look like? Are you bouncing back and forth between both schools?
Yeah, so you're right. Darden and UVA generally are one of the few schools that lets you start a little bit later in the process, which I personally enjoyed because I was able to pursue leadership opportunities in both schools with the timing. So I have done 2 years of law school, one full year of just Darden, and this year is a mix of both. And it can be a little bit hectic scheduling because Darden operates on a schedule, at least during your first year, from 8 a.m. to about 1:30 Monday to Thursday. And there's learning team involvement and things of that nature. And during second year, there's no learning team, but the classes still typically start around 8 and end around about 5, depending on which courses you're taking. And at the law school, we start a little bit later. We start around like 9:30, but there's a similar structure, but there's more evening classes, and short courses are something that the law school offers, which is typically a 1 to 2 week course on a very niche topic. So I recently took one on advising boards of distressed companies and understanding what that looks like from a legal perspective. So my schedule can be a bit hectic jumping back and forth, but everything being virtual right now has kind of improved that a bit and made it a little easier to transition from one Zoom room to another versus trekking next door from law school to business school.
Well, one of the benefits of being at the University of Virginia is there are so many great graduate programs. You have a top-ranked law school, you have a top-ranked business school. It's an incredible opportunity. I wonder how you've thought about having these experiences complement and supplement each other. So has your work at the law school informed what you've done at the business school and vice versa from a coursework standpoint?
It definitely has. I think I've been able to narrow my focus a little bit at the law school through my business school understandings. Like I mentioned, I just took a class on distressed companies, which is very business related, and been very beneficial to my law school understanding. And bringing my law school experience to the business school side, I think when I've taken classes like courses involving entrepreneurship, for example, our Starting New Ventures class is one example, I've been able to bring that perspective to my fellow classmates to help them consider what the legal implications are for different business decisions they hope to make or different legal considerations they should make when starting a company.
My hunch is that's not typically a perspective that students are hearing too often in those classes. I think about sort of the relationship between the lawyers and the business people, and business people typically come up with the ideas and then maybe the lawyers say, hey, well, here's some things that you need to think about. Might want to be mindful of the following. It's cool that you're bringing that perspective in real time to those classes. I wonder, we've talked a lot here on the podcast about the adjustment to life as a Dartmouth student in the first year, and you have talked about how the case method is a bit different when you get to Dartmouth than what you've experienced in the case method, but from a law school standpoint. But I wonder if having a couple years of graduate school already under your belt and behind you maybe made that adjustment process a bit easier. What was that like being a first year Dartmouth student?
It was intense. I was not expecting it to be as rigorous. And the funny thing is, everyone was always telling me, oh, Darden's very academically rigorous. Like, this is not a joke. Like, you're going to learn so much so fast. And I was like, oh, yeah, sure. Like, I'm in law school. Like, I know what that looks like. But it was very different for me. Even having been in school for 2 years prior, I was used to the schedule, the difference in schedule from working full-time to being a student full-time, but academically it was very different because at the law school, you have a course that goes for a semester and your main evaluation point is an exam at the end. And that's because throughout the semester, you're learning pieces of one larger concept versus at Darden, every day is a new concept. Everything, while it does build on itself, is its own independent module. And so it's so much more important to engage each day actively to make sure that you keep up with the material and the learning in class. That was an adjustment for me just because I was used to kind of taking a slower pace to my learning through the law school, but Darden's on a quarter system also. So you only have about 7 weeks to grasp a large variety of concepts. So it was very intense and a bit intimidating, but my learning team and my section really helped get me through that.
All right. Well, we always ask people what section they're in. So what section were you?
Well, I was section representative for Section D, actually.
All right. Well, for our listeners, tell us a little bit more about what it means to be a section rep.
Well, what it means is you are responsible for essentially being a voice for your section and facilitating community within the section. So we have at Darden a group called the Darden Students Association, DSA, which is basically student government. And section reps liaise with the student government as well as professors and administration to make sure that the section's needs are being met and their concerns are being heard. So you're an advocate externally, but like I mentioned, you're a community builder within the section internally. So my job was to check in my class were feeling like they were getting the experience that they wanted and voicing any concerns that were coming their way.
One of the things that we've talked a lot about here on the podcast are community norms and how each section sets its own norms. What's one of your favorite norms for Section D? Before I ask that question, though, I have to ask, what's the mascot and what's the color of the section?
Yes, so we are blue. The first years have officially branded us the Dragons. We were kind of nebulous as just the Section D. We were the Ds. We had a D as our letter, but we're more formally the Dragons now, and we're blue. And in terms of my favorite section norm, so we have a cheer that we do at the beginning of each class, and we bang on the table, and yeah, somebody says, Section D, are you ready? You say yes. And then you go through the cheer, and then at the end of the cheer, whoever's leading the cheer has to jump on the desk in the front of the classroom, which is a very stressful moment for me because I'm always nervous someone's going to fall. No one's ever fallen. People will just like step up on a chair if they're not confident in their jumping skills. But that's been my favorite, I guess, norm slash tradition that we have.
So every class, Section D, are you ready? Or at the beginning of each day, I imagine. All right, Section D, are you ready? And then someone jumps on the table.
Yes, every class. The intention behind it is to kind of get people excited and energized for class and hype us up in some fun and unexpected way.
I can imagine. That's a lot of energy. I love that. You know, it's so funny that you described that. I saw a video of it last year when we were working on a video project. And I was like, what is going on? Is that like an everyday thing? And I think the person who took the video was like, yeah, I think they do this every day. And yes, you've confirmed it. That is every day. So that is awesome. So one of the other things that we talk a lot about on the podcast is the time management challenges of being a student at Darden. So you have a lot on your plate. You have school, you have life, everything you're doing outside of business school, you have the social activities of the school. So there's quite a bit there, and you have job search. And so balancing all these things can be challenging. How did you manage it all? And of course, you also have friends and colleagues at the law school that I'm sure you want to stay in touch with. How did you balance it all?
I think you're right. You know, grad school is definitely a huge test of time management and stress management. And for me, I had to think about what my priorities were, because they're social, academic, and professional, like you mentioned, and you can't do all of them at once, and you can't go to everything or be at every event. So I think taking a step back and evaluating what should take priority at that moment and going with that, and then letting the other, and accepting that the other things might not be at 100% at all times. So for me, I had already recruited at the law school, so professional was pretty much checked off, but academically, like I mentioned, it was very intense when I first started. So sometimes I would prioritize studying in the morning, so that would make more availability in the evening to socialize, or maybe just going to bigger events that were like Darden Cup or things where I would get to see a lot of people at once. So then the social time wouldn't feel like I was taking away from school, but it's a more bang for your buck opportunity to see as many people as possible. I think being realistic and then also understanding what your priorities are and communicating those to those priorities to the people who matter to you is really important, because I can't operate in a vacuum, especially if I want to maintain the relationships at all levels that I had before school and during school. So I think trying to constantly reevaluate what matters to me and then share that with the people who matter to me was my strategy.
It really resonates with so many conversations that we've had, being clear about your priorities, what's important to you, communication, and really kind of letting all that sort of internal dialogue be your guide, and maybe not focus so much on maybe what other people are doing. That's really hard. It's hard to do in graduate school. Generally, it's hard to do in law school. It's hard to do in business school. Everybody's got their own path. And the advice that I have heard time and again from students is, you have to run your own race. And people get to that point of realizing that at different points in the journey. But the sooner you can kind of accept that, I think the better off you'll typically be. So Rachel, are there challenges with being a dual degree student? We talked about some of the benefits thus far, but I wonder, are there any sort of trade-offs that people should consider if they're thinking about this path?
Sure. One big one when it comes to timing of when you choose to start your dual degrees is whether or not you'll be able to graduate with your friends. You know, the people you start with might not be the people who you end with, and for different people that can be a bigger challenge than for others. So that's something I always try to let people know to consider. Also, leadership opportunities. If you are a dual degree student and you start with a one-in-one is what they call it, process, you might not have the opportunities to be in leadership later on because you won't have the same relationships with classmates as you might if you do it a different way. So that's another thing to consider, is if that's a priority to you, to make sure that you build those connections to ensure that you have those opportunities in the future. Other trade-offs, I think just demands on your time. There's never going to be enough time to do all of the things at both schools that you want to do. So you have to make a lot of tough choices, even just from simple things like which program should I go to, and who should I have lunch with? Things like that, you know, are the kind of things you have to consider. But I definitely do not regret it for a minute, and have been very happy with my decision.
That's great to hear. What's the argument that you typically make for doing a dual degree? I'm sure you've gotten this question from prospective students, from maybe some of your friends, and they say, all right, Rachel, why should I pick this particular path? Why should I do a dual degree? What do you typically tell them?
Well, in terms of the time commitment, if you started at the law school, it's only one extra year, 4 years total. If you're starting on the business side, it's a bit of a tougher sell to say two more years, but Charlottesville is a lot of fun, especially if you're an outdoorsy person. So it's worth it. Also, from a professional standpoint, everyone who I've spoken to, attorneys and business professionals who have told I'm a dual degree student too, have always been very like supportive and enthusiastic about it. They're always like, oh, that's such a good idea. I wish I had done it. I've yet to meet anyone who's said, I think it's a terrible idea. I regretted it. Or I think you're making a horrible decision. People really have found it to be valuable. The fellow JD MBAs and dual degrees who I've met have found their dual degree to be valuable, even if they don't end up using one or the other full time. Having the breadth of knowledge that they have helps them not only in their professional life, but also in their personal life. So I think it's a lasting set of tools from a lot of different angles that can be beneficial, not only on the professional sphere, which I think a lot of people think about, but the personal sphere as well.
All really good points. I'm wondering how you're planning to use all this great education that you've gotten post-graduation. So have you figured out what you're doing next? I know it might still be in process, but anything that you might be thinking right now, I'm sure would be interesting to our listeners.
Yes, I do know what I'll be doing. I will be practicing law, corporate law in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, at a large law firm, doing primarily mergers and acquisitions work, which is also called M&A for those out there who are familiar, but doing the legal side of deals. How do people buy companies, merge companies, things of that nature? That'll be my primary focus. And I think having the business understanding for what my clients are doing on the other side will be very valuable and help me give them a better, more comprehensive level of service, because I know that there's a bigger picture than just, can we do this, yes or no?
It'll be interesting to see how many of those clients will think that you have an MBA. They'll be like, how does this lady know so much about all this stuff? They're like, oh yes, by the way, I have an MBA from Darden in addition to a law degree. I think that's fantastic. I can certainly understand how you will be putting both degrees to work in that work. Absolutely. And congratulations, by the way, that is awesome. Philadelphia is a fantastic place. I'm sure you're looking forward to that. Speaking of looking forward to things, you've got a few more months left to go here until graduation. What are you looking forward to accomplishing in your remaining time?
In the time that I have left, I am hoping to put there's two organizations, extracurricular activities that I'm involved in at the law school as well as at the business school, the National Black Law Students Association, of which I am the national chair, and the Darden Business Students Association, BBSA, of which I am VP of Finance. And going forward into this last semester of grad school overall, I'm hoping to put my effort towards making sure that both organizations are in a position to grow and expand and improve to their full potential. That's something that's really important to me. I've given a lot to both organizations, energy-wise and time-wise, and I'm very proud of the work we've done, and I'm looking forward to seeing it through.
Did you come to graduate school knowing that you wanted to have those kind of leadership roles, or these things that you had done previously in terms of being involved with organizational life on campus?
Yes, I have been in a leadership role in every organization that I have been a part of since high school. So this was While I didn't know which organizations I would lead, I knew eventually I was going to find my way into some leadership role.
I'm not surprised to hear that. That's a common refrain, and many people pick the University of Virginia and Darden and the law school because there's such a great platform for that kind of impact in student self-governance. You can start your own organization, be involved meaningfully in the extracurricular life of the school. Something that we talked about a ton here on the podcast. So you have a lot going on, Rachel. I'm so appreciative of your taking time out to come here on the podcast. I wonder if you have any final words of advice for our listeners out there. You have a number of prospective students who are in the process of learning about, you know, life here at the Darden School and possibly some JD MBA perspectives out there. What might you share with our listeners?
Sure. In terms of dual degree advice, I would say if you're considering it, do it. I've yet to regret it. It's a challenge intellectually and emotionally, but it's definitely worth it and will certainly pay off in your future if for no other reason than to have a little bit more understanding in your heart and mind and a new set of tools in your toolkit. And in terms of Darden, you know, if you're looking for a place that cares about community and intentional learning and experiential learning, then this is certainly the place for you because that is exactly what Darden has to offer.
Well, Rachel, thank you so much for all your expertise and advice. To our listeners, this is just an audio document, of course, but you should know that Rachel is wearing this great t-shirt that says Virginia is for Lawyers, which we understand that she had a hand in designing. Do you want to talk a little bit about your t-shirt real quick, Rachel?
Sure. So in my 2L year at the law school, I was one of the co-chairs of the student government on the law school side, their diversity committee. And as part of that, each year, the law school hosts what they call Diversity Week, where we celebrate the different individuals who are represented in our law school body through different programming. And there's usually a t-shirt of some sort, a signature shirt to commemorate that week. And I was tasked with designing that. And so I remembered the Virginia's for Lovers sign. And so I decided that we should go with Virginia's for Lawyers. So the shirt says that, and underneath in the smaller print are all the affinity groups that we have represented at our school.
That's great. Well, I appreciated the t-shirt and thought it was funny. I thought we'd get a little bit of airtime here on the podcast.
Thank you.
Well, best of luck with everything that you're doing. It sounds like you've got a lot to look forward to. Obviously, congratulations on finding your next thing on to Philadelphia after graduation. It's been a pleasure catching up with you, Rachel, and take care and stay safe.
You as well, Brent. Take care.
And that was my interview with Rachel Barnes, a JD MBA student in our class of 2021. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at Darden, that's D-A-R-D-E-N, at virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.